Well, a full recap of working in Dallas with John Popper and all the music and all the stories and the trials and the tribulations. Eleanor Kerrigan, very funny comedian, you know her from the show. She's going to be in studio as well, and we'll do that right after this.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Stephen A. Smith, and comedian Eleanor Kerrigan. And now, still proud he stole that Guinness World Record for the most downloaded podcast from George Santos, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. George, they've got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Eleanor Kerrigan?
Yes, it's amazing.
And Max Spada.
Hello.
All right, so lots to get into today. Stephen A. coming in the second half. Eleanor, first half, lots of stuff to discuss. We just got back from Dallas, and we got clips to play and stuff to get into.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First, controversy about decaf coffee.
Oh.
I had a nice suite in Dallas,
okay.
And they provided three coffee packets for the coffee machine that they provided in the room, and I used one of them up on Saturday, but the one I really needed was Sunday, because I got back to my room after the festivities and eating and everything else. I went to bed about 1. I was due to meet Mike August in the lobby at 6:15, because that's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to return the rental car, which required a shuttle from the rental car place. And then also within the airport, get on the C-Tram and take it all the way across the airport.
I don't like that airport.
I don't. It's a big airport.
It's awful.
It's too big. Some say too big.
Mm-hmm.
So... Couple things. First, I got up, you know, I went to bed at 1. I got up on my own at 5:30 because I just had too much anxiety about getting up. I probably set my alarm for like 5:45, but I got up at 5:30. They've eliminated the clock inside of hotel rooms. So I sleep, it's pitch black, and I keep looking around to figure out, you know, when you go to bed at 1 and you got to get up at 5:45,
yeah.
When you wake up at 3:45 to see where you're at, you don't know where you're at. You don't know if you have 30 minutes left or 3 hours left. Like, that's at least to my brain. But there are no more clocks inside hotel rooms, except for the part where I complained to Mike August about this, and he says, my room has a clock.
Okay.
Which now we're in some catch-as-catch-can world where half the rooms have clocks and the other half do not.
So you can request like a clock room? Is that like an extra charge?
I then looked around and realized I do have a clock. It doesn't work.
I kept
hitting power. I was trying to figure out there's no clean way to unplug and plug anything. Everything's kind of strapped down and you're pulling on a cord.
Right.
And do I have to undo the lamp to plug the clock in? I don't know what's going on with the clock. I would like to live in a world where hotel rooms just had a clock on the wall, like NASA or something, where I could just count it down. Or like one of those things, see up in New York City, it's like, this is our federal deficit. You know, it's just a billboard.
You need like a handicap room with like a big giant
Here's
clock.
How many people die of secondhand smoke every year. You know, just I could just
Ticker.
Look up at
Ticker,
any
yeah.
point and go, here's what time it is.
There
but,
you go.
I couldn't do that. So anyway, I woke up at 5:30 and I was like, all right, I'm going to make myself a coffee. Two packets left.
Ooh.
There were three. I'd used up one. The two that were left were decaf. Mm. So now we're at a 66% to 33% margin of decaf versus regular. First things first, the actual ratio of people who want a decaf coffee is the exact same ratio of people that want a veggie sub from Quiznos right. when you're shooting something and you send some PA, go get some subs from P. We got 50 people here. Just go get a couple of boxes. Oh, and they get the one roast beef and then they get the turkey. And then the third box is the veggie sub.
Right.
Except for nobody wants the veggie
right.
sub.
The human food and then that
I don't.
Stuff.
Look, whenever you go to one of those places where they have the carafe with the push pump thing at the top, the decaf one is always full, and the regular one isn't full because people who want coffee want right. caffeinated coffee. So now it's not even split. The split, look, it'd be shit if they had one decaf and one regular. That would still be a fucked up ratio.
Right.
This is two decaf. Yeah. Now it's 5:30 in the morning. And I'm just looking at the big decaf thing written on top of the thing. Now, here's my question. Are they trying to unload the decaf
Probably.
Things that they have left over?
Yeah.
Because there's no possible way their policy would just be two decaf, one regular for people
yeah.
who want. If you want to make a cup of coffee in your room, you're trying to get right.
You
drank too much on the plane, you took a nap when you got in, and now it's showtime, or you're going out to dinner, or like
right.
whatever. It's like if you're drinking that cup of coffee in your room, or it's 5:15 in the morning and you got to make a flight, like you're looking to get something out of that other than just sitting around and enjoying the general flavor of coffee minus the caffeine.
Right. But if you think that the people that are stocking it think about you... Or anybody,
they
for
don't.
That matter.
I think
they just like, oh, I have to fill this slot. So
I
they
think
just
they're
grab
trying
it,
to move. I think they have a surplus.
It's like
of
we
decaf.
Have too much of this.
They're lousy
so
with decaf. They need to get rid of.
I don't know. All right, there are 10 people in this building right now. Does anyone drink decaf?
I'll answer for everybody and say no.
No.
But also, decaf should be like a special quest, right? It should just be like,
I don't even
like,
drink
this
coffee.
Guy's vegan. This person can't
right.
have eggs. That's the
yeah.
only time you should have decaf.
Special request.
It
you're
should
right.
never just be.
Call down to the front desk.
Yeah. Mm.
Tell them you're a special needs coffee drinker
yeah.
and you want some fucking decaf for your pussy ass.
Right. I don't drink coffee, but as a server, I was a waitress for a long time and I'd have the decaf, but it always just sat there.
Full.
The whole day. Yeah. I don't think we ever changed
this
it
This is
once.
My global problem for
yeah,
this
yeah.
society. Like, somebody adjust this ratio.
It's ridiculous.
And then there's always some asswipe that's like, oh, my sister-in-law likes the... Yeah, that's her. She lives in Michigan. There's one of her. Then
Leave
there's
her
everybody
there.
else. And I would also argue that nobody needs decaf. Decaf is... It's like nobody needs peppermint tea. It's like you may want peppermint tea, but you don't need at fuck when you go to bed at 1 a.m. and you get up at 5:25, you need
yeah.
regular coffee.
Yeah.
No one needs decaf. They may
Agreed.
Enjoy it. That's a luxury. But this is a necessity. So anyway.
That could be right. very infuriating too.
It's
that early.
Roughly 10% of Americans drink decaf.
Wow.
All right. I got the 66% on the decaf ratio at the room. So are they trying to just move these packets that they bought too many of 12 years ago?
I think so.
Dawson?
I think the root problem, remember they in the Sopranos when they were busting out the sporting goods store?
Yeah.
And he said, he'll give us a price if we order some blue coolers too.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, no, they all got to be red. We're not paying for them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He says, they all got to be red. Somewhere down this supply chain is a guy pushing the decaf and giving you a price on regular coffee
yes.
if you get the decaf too because they got
something
move it.
Is afoot.
Like
there's something nefarious going
it's nefarious,
on.
But why
yeah.
are they doing?
That's why I think the mob is involved. Definitely. 100%.
Isn't decaf? Wouldn't that be harder to make? Because isn't coffee naturally caffeinated? So is there a process? Like, is it costing them more money to make a decaf?
I don't know, but they have made enough of it, and they now need to unload
yes.
it one or two extra packets at a time, times 2,000 Sheraton hotels all around the USA and in Europe and parts of Asia as well. All right, so now I get no decaf, but I get all decaf. But I go down and I meet Mike. Who, by the way, is not a sympathetic ear because he doesn't
no.
drink coffee, no matter when.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
once I launch my diatribe onto Mike, who's the first human I see, it's all on deaf ears. He
right.
doesn't care about caffeine or coffee. What he does care about is the merch bag that we were supposed to take with us to drop to check at the airport.
Yeah.
No merch. The merch bag is where the car drop-off is, where the valet is, but it's locked up and we can't get to it. Then Mike's furiously dancing around at 6:15 in the morning. We have an 8 a.m. flight.
Okay.
He's dancing all over the place. Can't find it. Eventually, just cuts bait. He says, I'll take the ticket. I'll bring it in. I'll put it behind the front desk. I'll tell them Chris will get it tomorrow, and we got to split for the airport. We have to go drop the rental car off, then wait for the bus to take us to the American airline. And then once we get to the American airline, we have to check in. And then once we check in, there's a long shuttle train that has five other stops before we get to our gate, which is super far away. Then anxiety kicking in. Now, remember that the rental car drop-off place is 3 miles from the airport. So we're using Google Maps or Waze or whatever to try to fish us. It's dark outside.
Yeah.
I'm running off of fumes, and Mike's driving like an insane person because that's how Mike drives, especially in the wee hours. We're trying to find the drop-off for the thing. The thing is telling us to turn left on Luggage Avenue. You know, the sign is saying go to the right, but the verbal thing's like turn left on, you know, we turn left. We go left. We find nothing. We circle all the way around. Mike's driving angry and dangerous now. She's coming around again. Now we come to the intersection. Turn left. Mike is yelling at the phone, shut up, bitch, because we're seeing arrows going airport rental drop off to the right. The bitch telling us to the left. I'm yelling at Mike, shut your phone. Shut it down. I don't want to argue with this bitch who keeps telling us to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you want him to Luke Skywalker. Just use his instincts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mike cannot figure out how to get his phone to shut up, so she's just telling us to turn around the whole time. We're going. We get in there. We drop it off. Flight's at 8. We get out of the car about 6:50, hustle it over to the buses. Always a little unclear under the bus. Is one bus going to drop everyone off at all the different gates, or is there one separate dedicated bus per gate? We figure out that the bus keeps picking up other people and leaving, and we're at the American gate. And now it's like 7:10. We have not checked in. We're standing there, and at some point, our bus guy pulls up, drops us off. We get to the American gate. It's 7:15, 8 a.m. flight, never late, first flight out. Nice line at the American check-in, but we're not checking bags anymore because we couldn't get the bag out of the valet.
Right.
So Mike goes right to the kiosk.
Perfect.
Kiosk spits out a boarding pass that says invalid kiosk, you know, whatever. I go stand in line while Mike runs to another bank of kiosks, tries it again, snake eyes, nothing coming out of the kiosk.
Oh, that's tough.
Go in there, check in as fast as we can. Tell us to get in security line. Now it's like flight's leaving in 35 minutes.
Please tell me you have clear or first class. I'm having anxiety for this story.
They didn't have clear, but they had like priority plus or something. I get in that line. I'm going through. Mike's right behind me, but we have to go through, walk a long ways, go up an escalator, get onto a tram, and the tram, it's a long tram ride, and all the stops are before the A gates where we're at.
And hopefully they're both working, because sometimes there's one down.
Mike, it's working. I get through. I get on the tram with pretty much when they're boarding, like a half hour before the flight. Mike's behind me somewhere. I get on, I get down, I'm hustling. I wish I had some caffeine in my veins. No caffeine to be found. I hear them paging me as I'm hustling toward the thing. You get there, there's always this weird conversation. Hey, we paged you. Yeah, I heard that, but here we go. And they're like, you're also supposed to be traveling with Mike August as well. Where's Mike? I'm like, he's right behind me. He's right behind me. He's coming any second now because I don't want him to shut the door.
Yeah, Mike told me the story, and he said that you told him you're going to hold the plane for as long as you can. How would you do that?
You have to fake a heart attack.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I did it. I stood by the gate in front of the two gate agent ladies. Now it's about 20. It's about 20 minutes to eight. Flight's leaving at 8. But again, they're Nazis about shutting that door
on 15 minutes
on the first flight of the day, because they don't get out clean. Everything gets bumped back, you know. So I do. So I call Mike. It goes to voice message. I'm like, where the fuck is Mike? I call him. Now the two gate agencies, I'm like, I'm going to just call this guy and tell him. Now I have a fake conversation with Mike's phone that's ringing. Hey, man, where are you? Oh, good. Oh, so just getting off the tram. Okay, because I'm by the gate. Yeah, no, the ladies are great. Yeah, I told them you'd be here. Yeah, so you're coming on. It's like, right, I'm just hearing me on the phone. Yeah. I'm like, all right, okay, good. Then that's good. Then I'll see you in a two shakes of a lamb's tail. Then we're just right here right now. Okay, he's here. He's just getting off the tram. And I hang up the phone. Then I'm like standing there, and I'm like, and they're like, well, you should get on now. And I'm like, yeah, he's coming. He's just getting off the tram. Then I go walk down the jetway, and I call Mike, and he does pick up this time, and he's like, I'm not going to make it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, where are you? And he said, I'm on the tram, but I just got on the tram, and they have like three stops before we even get to your thing. So then I try this move. I don't know if this is an actual time. I don't know if I can keep the door open longer, but I walk onto the plane. I drop my luggage like right in front of where the galley is, where the food is. I got to use the bathroom right here. So just a second, you know, and she's like, oh, okay. And I just dump my bags there. Meaning like I'm in the bathroom. Maybe they'll wait till I come out of the bathroom. Yeah. I'm grasping at straws at this point. At some point, I just make my way to my seat. I don't know if Mike made the cut or not. He's been burned a few times. This one was a combination of couldn't get the bag from the valet. That scrubbed off a couple minutes. Got weird direction from Google Maps telling us to turn the other direction in the thing. Had to wait a long time for the shuttle, and then had to take a train to the gate, all kind of conspiring to add about 15 or 20 minutes to the ordeal. Mike finally made it on. Mike got pulled out of security. Mike travels with a refillable jumbo size of Robitussin cough medicine.
No.
And he frequently gets pulled out of line because he has 14 ounces of Robitussin in a thing in his backpack. And then I say to Mike, how much of this do you consume on a weekend? Like we do. And the answer is 2 tablespoons. So my thing is, can you put it into a smaller container?
Your travel size.
100%.
Or just buy the small thing of Robitussin.
They're everywhere. It's not like he's going somewhere where they don't have...
Can't do it.
Oh, at the beginning of the story, I liked him, and now I hate him.
Cannot.
That's not right.
Cannot do it. He won't do it. He gets pulled out all the time because they're fanatics about traveling with water or liquids or whatever. So he gets pulled out because he has the big tub of a family sized tub of Robitussin.
Yeah, Costco size.
I don't even know why. I know it's cheaper, and I know he buys it that way. But then buy the little one and just transfer. Yeah. So he got pulled out, and that almost
cost him the flight.
He made.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
He made the flight.
He gets pulled over from TSA all the time, to where whenever they grab his bag, he looks at him and goes, it's probably the Robitussin.
Right.
Maybe he likes getting felt up by the TSA. That's crazy. Because I hate it. I hate being talked. Yeah. I hate even talking to them. So I wouldn't have anything in there. I don't even bring hairspray.
My biggest problem with this is the rental cars. It's different at every airport.
Yeah.
You don't know how far away it is from the airport, how long it can get you back. There should be a service kind of like how they let you bring it back if you want to fill the tank yourself, or if you want us to do it.
Just dump it.
A drop off at the airport. Just drop it off. We'll charge you an extra $10 to take it back, but at least you're at the curb.
Yeah, and that $10 would be $80, but at least you'd have an
peace
option of. In our particular case, we probably would have drove through and eaten the $80.
Yeah.
The other thing that took place over the weekend that I'm curious about.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I we were showing my K-Rock doc that we're doing here. It's a documentary on the radio station awesome. K-Rock. Everybody from Jimmy Kimmel to Carson Daly to Dr. Drew, the many luminaries got their start on K-Rock. It's a legendary station. It has many interesting stories. And I was going to...
kind of like moderate a screening, right?
Yeah, we put together a panel. I don't have my spot, by the way, Chris.
Oh, no, we're not doing one.
Oh, okay. Well, why is it on the rundown here?
It's a pre-record just for the...
it says it on there. All right. Yeah, that's no not going to work with
me.
It's got to... If it's in the slot, I'm going to look for it.
Copy.
The doc is in decent shape, but not really ready to go, so I instructed my crew...
Okay.
Put together some like half hour, 45 minute version of the doc, and then I will run it, and I will comment on
Ooh,
it.
Okay.
Because I was there for a lot of the stuff that went on in the doc. He did have a girlfriend after he and my mom separated. Buy him for his birthday a set of tires for his VW Bug.
Okay.
Back in the day. Which at the time made me think, oh, she's pragmatic and that's cool and we got some new tires. But as I think about it now, when you're 42 and somebody has to buy you a set of tires for your car that you met 4 weeks ago or 3 months ago, or somebody new in your life looks at your tires and goes,
you need new ones.
You need new tires, or says to you, you got to get some new tires. And you're like, slow your roll, lady. It's a little rich. I'm only in my early 40s.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of tire money to throw around. By the way, if you need a set of tires for your Corvette, you know, that could set you back. That's a bigger, wider, higher performance. VW Bug is the thinnest, skinniest, least expensive. Like, at the time, those tires were $14 a corner.
I believe that, yeah.
Somebody needed to intervene.
Also, I don't think I would ever do that to a man. You need tires. Like, I feel like I'd get punched in the face. Like, well, you don't tell me I need tires. That's a man thing. You know what I mean?
I couldn't handle it.
So but that's if you gotta
ride,
girl,
but if you have to ride in the car with the guy with the bald tires.
Yeah, of course. But I still would be like, oh, it feels weird. Like, I'd hint around and let it be their idea. I'm kind of old, I guess.
So you'd be like, you know, like when you're wearing flip-flops and you've been wearing them too long and you can almost feel the ground through your feet.
I feel like I have a nail in my foot.
Yeah. she bought him a set of tires. I remember that.
God
clearly.
Bless her.
Yeah.
So we got the K-Rock doc.
Right.
And I say to my guys who are in the next room editing from where we're sitting, whack together some version of this that I can show. We're not going to have a finished product. We're not going to have it mixed, sound corrected, color corrected, you know, all that. We're not going to be able to do that. And we'll have some play saver pictures and stuff that we haven't, that have watermarks on it because we haven't cleared it yet. And it's how the early versions, but it'll be enough to go through the story. So they put together like a 40-minute presentation. And they had like K-Rock the early years and then K-Rock, you know, as they ascended to greatness. And then they had Loveline,
right.
K-Rock, which I hosted for a decade. And I guess I was
Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yeah. And they had like Jimmy Meets Adam in the whole thing was sort of titled that way. And I said, all right, well, this will be good. And then we showed the doc for the partisan crowd. And they really liked it. And I kept asking people who weren't familiar with K-Rock. They didn't grow up in L.A. They'd heard of K-Rock. And they were like, I grew up in Indiana, but I really enjoyed the doc. I wanted to see more. Like, it was good. It was a it was an interesting story. The only problem was I was not depicted within the story for not even one frame. There was literally no likeness of me. And when they were talking about Adam meets Jimmy and Loveline and Kevin and Bean and Adam joined, it was all bereft of any photographs. I sat down and did a 3-hour interview. Like, they had Jimmy popping up all the time. They had Kevin and Bean popping up all the time.
Producer.
They had
dead people.
They had dead people popping up all the time. They had Psycho, oh, not Psycho Michael, then Mike Catherwood, who took over for me on Loveline for a brief period of time.
Wow.
He was featured. They had Ricky Rackman, who hosted before me on Loveline. It was, and they were all talking about me. As well as Jimmy was talking about me.
Telling your story.
There was, telling my story, there were no visual representations of me in this doc that I made, that people made, talking about me. Now, what is that?
I don't, wait, did you make it or somebody else made it?
Well, my team made it, meaning.
So your team just eliminated you, kind of.
Which
is interesting.
I was not in one frame of this 40-minute thing, but I was spoken about a lot in it, and it was like, and then Adam joined Loveline, and then Jimmy was like, and then I met Adam when I was doing this boxing match, and then Adam showed up, and but I wasn't involved with it. I wasn't represented.
Oh man, that's,
imagine Michael Jordan not being in The Last Dance.
Right,
like, just talking about it and telling this story. You have the footage of Michael Jordan, but you're not going to put him in it.
Does your team like you?
I don't know.
Okay.
Evidently not.
He's on to us.
Bizarre. And I sat down just like Jimmy, just like Carson Daly, just like the program directors and Kevin Dean. I sat down for my long form 3-hour interview.
Right.
There's plenty of digital footage of me discussing meeting Jimmy or joining Kevin and Bean or joining Loveline. Dr. Drew was peppered
throughout.
Dr. Drew popped up 14 times in this thing. Kevin and Bean, 9 times. Jimmy, 11 times. Like, Carson Daly, 3 times. Like,
every
person that was interviewed, bands you've never heard of, pow, front and center.
Was Frazier Smith in it? Is he a K-Rock guy?
No, Shadow Stevens was in it, who was the original. Every old jock you've never heard of was popped up. Everybody but me.
It
went everywhere.
But remember, the marching orders were, we're doing an Adam Carolla weekend in Dallas, and we want to show the K-Rock doc. I didn't say, make sure and don't eliminate me.
Right.
I just thought, there's context.
We'll do the right thing.
We're going for my crowd for the weekend to show them my K-Rock doc. So just put together 40 minutes.
For time, they're like, well, let's leave Adams out because he's going to talk about it anyway.
It was 40 minutes and, you know, we've covered a lot of ground. And it was
I'm trying to help the team.
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
It's 40 minutes. I mean, granted, they did talk about the history before Adam was there, but like the last half of that, of the showing, was all just stories about Adam without Adam. And it might have been, maybe they thought you would do it live. I don't know. But it's kind of like, you know, actors are, they're excited they're going to be in a movie, and then they watch the movie and they've been cut out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was Adam, but it was his own movie.
Adam Carolla was suspiciously absent.
The not-so-Adam Carolla doc.
I mean,
especially the egregious part, were just the parts that were directly about you.
Oh, Kennedy, who's now on Fox.
Okay.
Chris Hardwick was in it multiple times. Kennedy was in it. I mean, I could just keep going.
Wow.
But they weren't talking about Chris Hardwick or Kennedy. They were talking about me, and then I wouldn't be represented there. It's weird. It's a weird life.
I want to see this doc.
It's great.
Is it finished?
No.
No. Okay. No. If it was finished, we would have shown it.
But Mike Catherwood really kind of put you in a nutshell. They did grab a really great clip of that. Is that when you're talking to Adam Carolla, you're almost intimidated by how quick his brain works. It was something along those lines. So that was a really nice thing. And I was, when I saw that part, I was totally nodding my head. Like, I understand that. I get that.
You know who else was intimidated? The editor.
Yes.
So intimidated. He didn't want to risk putting Adam Carolla in his project.
I can't watch his footage.
All right.
He was scared to watch it. Yeah, it's a sin.
Well, it wasn't all bad news because at some point Saturday night after I did 45 minutes of stand-up, I was going to bring out John Popper and his keyboardist Ben, and they were going to do some sort of stripped-down lovely Blues Traveler and John Popper songs. And then we're going to end the night with Chris's band up there, along with John's keyboardist, sort of backing up John for the Blues Traveler hits.
Yeah, we learned some tunes to play along with John and Ben.
I tell you, it sounded great. We don't have to take my word for it. We can play a couple minutes of. We playing Hook here?
We got one more for you. And
oh, wow.
Then we're going to say thanks, but you guys have been absolutely fucking awesome.
Such a great crowd.
Where is
this? This is in Dallas.
The Sheridan. Sorry if that's what you were asking.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I figured.
The decaf.
I have to sit between people
house.
And tell other people what they're saying.
Dawson.
I appreciate you here. Yeah, Dawson did a stand-up
somebody
set.
Else.
Oh, Dawson
Adam Carolla, that's right.
Dawson did a killer stand-up set.
You did that on purpose?
So thanks for
that's
having
great.
Us, and this is for you. It doesn't matter what I say, as long as I sing with inflation. The native beat of the land, so did I trip up and reflect on but I've never so far, and now to keep it up as long as the day. And it don't matter who you are. If I'm doing my job, it's your fault that way. Because the voice brings you back. I ain't taking no lies. Love brings you back. Oh, they can realize. I am being insincere. If I got nothing and the it's to my confession of you did. To confuse the issue of the father, to a million heroes from no one before. No matter how much beat I loved her, but maybe the pain of feeling to grow. That was so great.
Jeez.
Oh my God.
Just an honor just like to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you knew John Popper was good before this weekend, but after really seeing him do what he does.
Yeah.
It was just it's moving. It's
just really live and raw like that.
It's really great to see someone It doesn't really matter if it's singing. You know, it's why I like watching ladies gymnastics. You know, I don't know anything about it. It's like that person's at the height of their game.
Right.
They're doing something no one else can do.
He has absolute control, stuck the landing of his art.
Like, yes, yes. I mean, you just see his like mic control and everything. And by the way, that was just a ballroom with folding chairs.
Right.
Like, that wasn't an acoustically whatever theater. That I was on stage and it was a little tinny in there, and he's just such an artist. It's it's crazy. And
and
also,
he's fearless.
He takes it seriously. He
exactly.
does not just show up and like hammer check and belt out a couple of tunes and go home. He's like, I'm earning this. I mean, I was impressed,
but he already was impressed.
He does.
Yeah.
He really does.
So, yeah, he wants to entertain. His voice is incredible, too.
Yeah, and he goes for it. Like there are artists who won't hit those high notes because, let's say, they got a lot older or anything.
They're afraid of it.
He'll always go for it.
Yeah, he doesn't do the cop-out where he holds the mic out, you know, you hit the high note, audience. Yeah. No, Dawson, I mean, were you as impressed as we were?
I was blown away. We were able to record the whole thing too. The what really impressed me was the way Chris's band Loxy just kind of got in there and became Blues Traveler.
Yes,
and it was funny. Maybe we'll get to this later. But when they played Runaround, at the end of Runaround, you can audibly hear John Popper look at the band and go, I thought I was going to have to give you guys a look and let you know but you guys, babe, great. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Loxy was strong.
They were prepped, and the band sounded like they'd been playing together for a long time with John. This didn't
sound
like
a Blues Traveler concert.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Now on to something more disappointing.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you guys are with me.
Back to decaf.
No, this is this is terrestrial radio.
Okay.
I don't know, and I should give Eleanor a plug, which is the Comedy Store podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. But this is not that. This is me doing radio to promote this concert earlier in the day, in the morning, and everything else. I won't get into the nuts and the bolts of Mike August screwing up the time we had to be at the radio station and leaving John Popper behind and then screaming that the guy told him that and then the guy screaming at me, I will show you the email with the time on it that I sent Mike. So he says, I'm wrong. I have an email with the time. I was like, I got you. All right. Anyway, thank God I got in at 1:00. Last night at 7:10 in the morning, and we're hustling to the station a half hour before we need to be there. But all right, let's put all that aside. I forgot about radio guys, but I did get my number one answer, which I get a lot of. So first thing, there was a lot of, I was like in studio for one of my radio hits, and I could hear the guy going, he's in studio? If I knew he was in studio, then I would have come out. I didn't know he was in studio. It's like they cannot exchange information. There's no, even in this this miraculous day of emails and texts and stuff, there's no way to glean that I'm in Dallas and coming in studio. And the guy's like, oh, I would love to do in person, but I didn't know he was coming. There's that. There's also the part where they have no information about what you're doing. So what is this thing? Or where is it? You know, and it's always Mike, do they have the date? Do they have the gig? Do they have the venue? Do they have the time? They got it all. They've got it all. They never know. So it's always, when is this? And then what is this again? It was also nice that the guy who put the thing together wrote, at some point he wrote Adam Carolla with John Parker. And, of course, to be fair to the Parker who gave him the information, he had one version of John Popper and the other one said John Parker. And then, of course, he's going to be appearing with John Parker from Blues Traveler. Like, John Popper's like, yeah, well, it says Parker. Yeah, all right. Well, you could probably do that math.
All the John Parker fans can be bombed.
So is that, but then there was this one, which I always enjoyed. The no information, we don't know what's going on, when are we doing this? It's always, that's what radio is.
Do you think they do that to try to stay like, oh, I don't know what's going on, try to stay hip, or what's happening? We're cool, right?
Yeah, we don't know, we're oblivious to everything, man.
There's an element of that. I do believe there's an element.
Because I hate morning radio, but.
there's a we're too cool for school and we're not here to plug. So what are you doing again? Like they and also there's a lazy factor to it. But but I do get my favorite one. My favorite one is after doing all this later on Saturday afternoon or something. Mike said, I got this syndicated thing. You can just call into this syndicated thing. You're going to call in like 5 minutes. Can you call like right now? I said, yeah, I'm in my room. He goes, all right, call this number. I got the number from the producer. He gives me the number and he goes, call this number and you'll be on the air in 2 minutes. I go, okay, I'll do that. I call the number. This happens frequently. And some guy just picks up like, hello? And I'm like, hey, this is Adam Carolla. I'm going on the air. And he goes, why'd you call this number? Which I always love, which is you could say they gave you the wrong number. And you could say we have a studio number and they must have given you the producer
what
number.
What kind of response is that? Right.
Why'd you call this number?
Well, you know, there was a bunch of numbers. And I said, let me pick this one.
Yeah. It was the number that was given to me by your people. That there could be no other.
Right.
There's no other way this went on other than your people gave us the number, except for they gave us the number to the producer and not the in-studio number, whatever happens every single time. It's more the response. Like, why?
Right.
Why? I'm sitting in a hotel room. Somebody told me to call this number. That's the only version of this story that would make sense.
It's so stupid.
Then they go, you shouldn't have called this number. This is my home number. I'm the producer. It's like, how does that number even get? Now, look, with Mike, you never know. It's impossible to say.
That's the beauty of
but
it.
But Mike didn't say, I got two numbers. I got the hotline number and I got this other number. He just went, here's the number they gave me. They just gave him a number.
It's happened a million times to me.
That's like, the number I call.
This isn't the number you call. Call this one. A million
half
times.
Of all radio stations you call into is, why did you call this number? Which is, seems like a thing they could straighten
out. It's going to turn to who this.
Straighten out,
like,
right?
What are you doing?
Yes.
You know somebody's calling in. Why are you doing it? Oh, this is pre-recorded. I hate morning radio because they're mostly phony, too, because there's that element of, whoa, what are you doing in town? What are we doing? You know what I'm doing. You got the email.
You got the email.
Everybody knows what's happening.
Yeah, you and John Parker playing a concert.
Me and my grandfather are in town.
Yes.
It's just like crazy stuff. Or they, you know, always do the wacky... Hey, it's morning radio. You know, I always play Laugh Girl when we do it on the Comedy Store podcast. Mm-hmm. My friend Rick Ingram does the best morning radio guy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just, the girl's always in the corner laughing. So I'm Laugh Girl, but
I'm
I can't
girl
stand.
On this show.
There you go.
Yeah,
look
that's
at you.
Chris.
Let me hear you laugh. It's not good enough.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm new.
He needs to be inspired.
But yeah morning radio. It's just
You'll
too much.
I
Plus,
mean,
he thinks he's a big-time musician now.
I think.
Because he's on there with, you know.
I'll tell you. A Grammy-winning song with a Grammy-winning
That's
artist.
Right.
That's amazing. I'll tell you who needs decaf. Morning radio people. Mm. You got to calm down.
Yeah, that'll mellow
them out.
Calm out.
Down. Let's give them
agree.
The decaf coffee.
I got to tell you, the highlight of the weekend for me was watching your bandmates just enjoy the shit out of themselves up on stage playing with John Popper.
We had such a blast.
It's insane.
I mean, he'll get mad if I'm saying this, but my drummer, Mikey, he cried.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he was
cool,
crying.
Though.
That was a bucket list situation. I think Mikey or, what's your bass guy's name?
Will? Yeah.
One of them kept saying, backstage, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you. But then he would keep pausing and goes, I know you didn't have anything to do with it, but I still want to thank you. And I said, well, I had something to do with it. And he goes, I know, but it's not your decision. I go, look, if I were never born, then you wouldn't be playing with John Popper. I want everybody, thank you. Please just, your relationship with me, forget about what I do, what I know, what I like. If I wasn't born, where would you be? And if you weren't born, where would I be? And I know where I would be, here. And I know where you would be, not here.
Maybe
so just break it down to that very basic element
very
of
basic.
Let's see whose life would change more if the other weren't born. How about that, bitch?
That's just good science.
It's just good science.
Maybe he got it from the documentary. He left. He wanted to leave you out of it.
Well, if I wasn't born, I would have been just as present in that doc.
Yeah, very true.
Although I don't know who they would have been talking about. Right. All right. The Comedy Store podcast is where you get Ellen Kerrigan's stuff. And also Ladylike Comedy Special available on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Music as well. Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Usual. Stephen A. Smith, a very revealing interview right after this.